All right, you're listening to X-Ray FM, and today we're talking with Marissa Cohen, who's the Festival Director of the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. We're going to be chatting a little bit about that festival. Full disclosure, X-Ray is a proud sponsor of that festival. And Marissa, welcome. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. PFCAT is the shortened version of this, at least as we've been doing in emails about scheduling this conversation. But Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology, that's a long name.
Right. Yeah, that's why we're going with our short name. We're saving a lot of time every day in our lives by abbreviating it, keeping it short. People can remember the short name.
There's a lot in that, though. Cinema, Animation, and Technology. Do you want to talk a little bit about what this festival is and maybe what makes it unique from a traditional film festival?
Definitely. So animation is huge for this festival. I would say over 70 or around 75% is animated in some way. So we have all types of animation too. Like, we're really trying to go beyond what you see at a lot of film festivals, which is animation just for kids. Or like a weird, quirky animation section. Like, we have so many types. We've got a ton of stop motion from really accomplished industry professionals, also from students, everything in between. We have animated features for adults and for all ages. We also have a lot of experimental animation, midnight movie animation. There's so many. I mean, I feel like just in animation, like, there's something for everyone, even if, I feel like sometimes people maybe don't feel like animation can, like, tell a story like traditional film, but we're out to prove that you can lose yourself and get immersed in it. And then in addition to that, technology is really big with this festival. We have all kinds of film screening in the Kendall Planetarium. So that will go beyond like your traditional planetarium experience in a science center. Like, we have science fiction films in the dome, totally immersive, independent animated creations in the dome that like change your perception of what a film is when you're watching something like that in the dome. And we have virtual reality films. Some are like traditional narrative. Some are almost like a game-like experience where you're part of the action in the virtual reality film. Then we also have a lot of films that use technology in an innovative way in their creation. So with that, we're talking about like visual effects, things like green screen backgrounds, like filmmakers that have used, something compelling to tell their stories.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you beat me to the punch because I was curious about how technology showed up in this festival based off of the name of the festival. It sounds like some of it is the technology of bringing the viewer into the film. And some of it could just be, filmmaking is often a time for problem solving and, in the creation of a film, technology for solving those problems also gets pushed forward. Like the Stanley Kubrick and the Steadicam is a classic example, but there's many more examples than just that.
Yeah, and very true. Like, we're looking for like visionary, groundbreaking filmmaking. So, for example, we do more traditional types of films too, but something like unusual about them. Like, we have a feature this year. It's actually from a Portland, she's originally from Portland. It's called The Plan. And it's like the entire film is like a single take. So it's one of those, fully single take films, which I think is fascinating. When somebody can keep the pacing really tight, keep the story really involved, you're not, bored and you're part of the action with that. So even things like the cinematography being innovative is a great thing for this festival.
Very cool. It's like, hey, we got to nail this. We only have three takes of this one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The level of orchestration and advanced planning
Yeah.
to pull off a film like that is, it's just like fascinating to me.
Yeah. And so you also mentioned stop motion and how that's significant in at this year's festival. Do you want to talk a bit more about how that's showing up at the festival?
Yeah, so I think this festival has gotten kind of a reputation for having a lot of stop motion. And this year we just like doubled down on that because we realized, I think like more than ever in this age of like AI knocking on our doors, I guess,
Yeah.
people really appreciate the level of human effort and like craftsmanship that is going into stop motion. I think it just feels really good to watch it and think about, you know, how it was made. So, that's my theory on why I think stop motion has been so popular for the audiences that are coming to this festival. But we have two different stop motion blocks.
Okay.
One is for all ages. So that's another actual unusual thing we're doing at this festival is a lot of it is good for all ages to come. Like you can bring your tween or your 9-year-old and they won't be necessarily like traumatized by dark festival fare, right? So we have one block that's good for all ages, and then another one that's more adult themed. And then we also have two stop motion animated features and some animated stop motion animated talks. Like we have Leica out for a panel,
Oh,
which
cool.
I'm super excited about. Yeah, so they're going to bring out some of the animators from Wildwood, and we're gonna
Oh.
get to hear what they have to say. So yeah, I'm totally psyched to hear about that. And then we have another panel about stop motion called Meet the Puppet People, which I love that title.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm sorry. It's Attack of the Puppet
Oh,
People,
no.
right? Attack of the Puppet People. That is put together by Brian, who is launching the Museum of Stop Motion Animation in Portland.
Okay.
Brian Capati and Melanie Coombs, who lives here. She was one of the. She is the producer on Pinocchio, the Pinocchio film. So they're putting together a really great panel too.
Oh wow. So you get some real heavy hitters in the stop motion world as part of the festival.
Yeah, we're so honored to have all these people out who are just like working at the top of their game. So that's going to be huge, and I'm really hoping we can get a great turnout for those panels.
Do you feel like more, you mentioned it's significant. Does that mean you feel like more people are submitting stop motion films than in previous years?
Yes,
Okay.
we do. We had so many amazing stop motion films submitted from all over the world, and it was hard to choose. You know, we have a review committee that watches and rates all the films we get submitted, and it was even hard to, you know, get it down to how many we're screening, which is
Okay.
about, I think maybe like 30 different between the shorts and features.
Okay, very cool. And then we should probably talk a little bit of about the brass tacks of this festival, right? What, when is it? How does it work with all of these different screenings? Like, if people want to attend, what does that look like for them? How do they find out more information about all of that?
Yeah, so it is August 18th through the 23rd. All the screenings and panels are at OMSI, and we use a lot of different locations at OMSI. You know, the planetarium, the Empirical Theater, we use the auditorium and theory. And you can get tickets through our website. Actually, if you go to our website, which is pdxfestivecinema.com, you can look at all the trailers and like in-depth descriptions of all the films. We have our full schedule there, and it links over to OMSI, where we're actually selling tickets on OMSI's website. So it's $12 for screenings, and we have a totally free expo event this year. It's Saturday, from 11 to 2, and this is called the Creator Expo. So what this is a wide variety of different organizations that can help people who are interested in filmmaking and animation, whether they're already involved or they want to maybe go into it someday, or they're just curious to meet people who are working in this industry. So if you come to this event, you can network with people, meet local organizations, meet some schools, try out some tools yourself, and it's going to be free. So it's all ages, and you can reg you just have to register. You can do that on our website.
Okay, and what date was that? You said Saturday, but can you remind right of us the date?
Yeah, that is Saturday, August 22nd
Okay.
from 11 to 2. So like you asked at the beginning, what makes us kind of different or
Yeah.
unique from all film festivals? Like one thing we're trying to do is really boost the interactivity level, like because I think sometimes watching films, people maybe feel like isolated. Like a lot of times the movie watching experience these days is gravitated to people like on their phones or in their houses by themselves.
Yeah.
So we're like, if you come to this film festival, you can interact n with the other people. Obviously you can do Q&A, ask questions of the creators. We have over 100 different films being represented in person by the directors or writers, producers. You can talk to them, but you can also go to the Creator Expo and like try out some tools yourself. You can become part of the film if you do like the VR aspect, right? So we're trying to approach it from all different angles.
Yeah, it's not so the film isn't so untouchable if the person who helped produce it or direct it or make the film is there to answer questions about it. The Creator Expo, what kind of group of people do you recommend that for? Is it for people who are just interested in learning more about the films they're watching, or people who are interested in learning how to make films, or people who are already
Yes.
making films? So who should go
Yeah,
there?
all of those. Yep. All of
Okay.
those. Yeah, like really, even if you're curious about, what's going on in Portland, filmmaking community and animation community, you can come meet people. If it's, I think it's great for teens or, younger people who think maybe I should go into this one day. What can I meet some people and learn what's involved, or what the first steps might be, or just join a group or network with some new people. So trying to make it very a community focused, immersive for people to come and learn and talk to people.
That's really cool. That's really cool. I feel like, you mentioned seeing more stop motion films and thinking maybe the amount of time and detail it takes to make those and the intention it takes to make that, it might be showing up as an antidote to the AI kind of push a button and a thing is made world. And this kind of can help this branch out into maybe even more film as community, right? You get to spend time making art with other people, because I think that's one of the great benefits of art is it connects us with each other and shares our experiences. It gives us a place to be human. It's more of that antidote in a world where, well, maybe and when a movie is supposed to be edited so you can watch it while you're also on your phone, this is a way to maybe break out of some of that in a sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I personally think that one of the reasons like AI filmmaking isn't going to be as pervasive as many big companies are hoping is people who the movie goer really enjoys knowing a lot of people went into creating something, right? And there's definitely that magic that happens when a team gets together and everyone's doing their part to create an animated film or a movie. So yeah, I think erasing all that isn't what civilization wants or needs.
This is an anecdote and maybe it'll stay and maybe it won't, but I was watching Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight recently, and there's a scene where the semi truck flips flips over in the middle of the street. And that whole stunt is done on a closed down street in Chicago. There's like historic buildings on the side of the street, and they had to strap like a stunt man into this semi truck. So there's actually a guy in it while it flips over, and then they had to like build this big piston to flip over the truck. And like now I guess you could tell a robot to do all of that, but there's just something really special about knowing that like all this intention went into this stunt to make it feel as real as possible,
Yes,
you know?
I remember that scene. That's such a great scene. And I completely agree. And that's I think that's one reason that we're trying to emphasize also, learning about the process. It's like, 'cause when you're watching something, you can appreciate it so many different, something great, you can appreciate this, get lost in the story and appreciate that, but then take a moment to reflect. What were they thinking? How did they make that? How many people, all the stuff that we love to learn about to help us appreciate on a deeper level. So that's a great thing about all film festivals is if you can come and talk to the people who made it, it gives you that, deeper understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a chance to come together and celebrate the art of filmmaking. Is there anything I guess before we wrap, we should remind people the dates that the festival's running. You have an opening. Do you have an opening night party that I think I saw on the calendar as well?
We do. It's going to be really fun. So opening night is Tuesday, August 18th. And we actually, that's a great night just in and of itself for the programming. We have a shorts block that we have Doug Jones, the actor from Pan's Labyrinth, and he's on Star Trek, and he's just got an amazing biography of films he's made. He's going to be here at the festival and he's going to give a
Great.
talk before we start. It's included with the ticket price, so that's going to start at 5:30. So we have the shorts block from 6 to 7:30. Then we have a feature called Crystal Cross, which has been like a huge hit on the festival circuit this year. It's made by a Native American filmmaker, actor, composer. He did everything. He's like what he was able to accomplish with this film's really amazing. So that's at 8, and then afterwards we have a opening night party at Wonderlove, so people can get up high, look at the city from their top balcony thing there, and it's right near OMSI. It's like less than half a mile. So that's all happening August 18th. Tickets are at pdxfestivecinema.com. And
Awesome.
then it, yeah, and then it runs till August, Sunday, August 23rd. So we have films, talks, parties, all 6 days.
Great. And like you dropped the website pdxfestofcinema.com. You can find out more information there. This is Marissa Cohen we've been speaking with about the Portland Fest of Cinema and Animation and Technology. Marissa, I always like to give my guests the last word. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to bring up, or what would you like to leave people with here as we wrap our
Oh,
conversation?
okay. Yeah, thank you so much. It was great talking to you, and thank you for having me. And yeah, I just think that for listeners who are thinking about coming to this festival, we have a lot scheduled. Just pick one thing, try something new. I think a lot of times these independent films and animations can resonate with audiences more than what we see in the mainstream Hollywood films, because these creators are able to make their own decisions, make their own artistic choices without being interfered with from some studio overlord or something. They can tell their stories tampered with. So I think a lot of people really cannot believe how great and enjoyable and talented these films and filmmakers are.
All right. Well, that is a great sentiment to leave us with, and a great reason to go check out some of these independent filmmakers. Marissa, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. My name's Chase. You're listening to X-Ray. Stay tuned.